This is a study titled Guidelines for Happy, Successful Living. And it is an esoteric analysis of the Ten Commandments I would like to deal with for a moment. The word esoteric and the word exoteric, E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C, indicates inner meaning, spiritual meaning, real meaning. Words and figures are exoteric, E-X-O-T-E-R-I-C, outer. So words and figures are exoteric, outer, external symbols. Esoteric interpretation reveals the inner real meaning behind the exoteric or outer words and symbols. Here now is my definition of the Ten Commandments. It's a different definition than is usually given or thought of. After all, you see, the Ten Commandments are not just simply a set of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. The Ten Commandments are really guidelines for right thinking, which produce right living and right results. I want to be purposely redundant about this. The Ten Commandments are really guidelines for right thinking, which produce right living and right results. This is where our fundamentalist friends miss out completely on the interpretation of the Bible and the effectiveness of religion. It is impossible to interpret the Bible so-called literally and get a correct interpretation. The Bible is a book of mind science, a book of spiritual psychology. The Ten Commandments are guidelines for right thinking, for there cannot be right living or right results without first right thinking. And this is again where the evangelists have missed the boat in religion, by trying to get people to live right without first of all teaching people to think right. And so in our consideration of the Ten Commandments in this series, we are studying the Ten Commandments as guidelines for right thinking, which produce right living and right results. This is session one, and in this session, we are considering the first commandment. You will find this first commandment and all of the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, in the Holy Bible, in the Judeo-Christian scriptures, as they would say in the theological seminary. And I read the first commandment for you from Exodus, the 20th chapter, the second and third verses. As a matter of fact, will you join me in the reading of this commandment? I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Right away, the first thing that the first of the Ten Commandments does is to tell us who what God is. And if there happens to be any kind of examination, the first question is going to be, how does the first commandment define God? I am is the self-definition of God given in the first commandment. I am the self-definition of the infinite, the self-revelation of the infinite. The first commandment reveals God to be I am. Who is I am? I am is infinite, unconditioned self-awareness. I am is formless self-awareness. It is by thought that we condition the unconditioned God. It is by thinking that we form the formless God. I want to use an example that I've used several times before whenever I've spoken to you about unconditioned self-awareness and formless self-awareness. Let us just imagine that there is a cookie maker or a biscuit maker in front of us with a table, and in the bowl is a great big hunk of dough. Cookies are being made. I remember my mother making up the dough to make cookies. And that great big hunk of dough was without form and void. And my mother had these little cookie cutters. She would take the dough, flatten it out on flour on the table, take a cookie cutter and impress it upon a piece of formless dough and cut out a star or an animal or some other shape. The infinite God, infinite substance, infinite being is like that great big unformed hunk of dough. It just is. In other words, that great big unformed, formless hunk of dough really says, I am. The cookie cutter is your thought, because your thought defines the shape or the form that that dough will take. This brings abstract theology, I believe, a little closer to us. And so I am, again, is what? Formless self-awareness. Unconditioned self-awareness. Unconditioned awareness of being. That dough just is until you make it a star or an animal, by cutting it with your thought. Ladies and gentlemen, you, man, is always conditioning the unconditioned God by his thought. Man, you are always forming the formless God with your thought. Isn't that an awesome consideration? Your mind, your individual mind, your individual thought process is that which forms the formless God. And the formless God becomes to you whatever you think. Wow. And so the first commandment reveals God to be I am. Infinite, meaning limitless, endless, unconditioned self-awareness. I am that I am means I am that which I am aware of being. Say that with me. I am that which I am aware of being. I am that I am also means I am that which I think I am. Together, I am that which I think I am. The first commandment is a revelation that awareness, and awareness alone, is God, cause, reality, power, anything. I'm somewhat hesitant, but yet I must debunk now the anthropomorphic God. Anthropos in Greek meaning man, anthropomorphic, the man-like God. God is not a big man in the sky. As a matter of fact, the only personality that God, unconditioned self-awareness, has is in you as man. And it's interesting also, do you know that God and man really create each other? Every man takes God and conditions him with his thought, with his belief. The first three commandments, by the way, are really the same. Variations only upon the same theme. But you're going to have to come to think of God and to get a sense, a feeling of unconditioned self-awareness, what that is. Awareness, consciousness. Awareness alone is God, cause, reality, power, anything. I inserted a warning to keep some people from going off. I am or I am God is not human self or ego. Got that? I am God does not mean that Mary Sue Jones is God, the Almighty. Or that Charlie Brown is God Almighty. There's a very interesting verse of Scripture also in the book of Hosea, the 11th chapter and the first verse. I have called my son out of Egypt. And it has an interesting definition which I share with you. I, the infinite unconditioned self-awareness, frees my son, my own individualized self-awareness from Egypt. Egypt means, in this case, bondage to the senses, slavery to materiality, and limitation. And I free my son from bondage, from Egypt, by reminding him, reminding myself of who I am in him and as him. I want to ask you a question that you can deal with it in your own meditation. How are you conditioning God in you? How are you conditioning unconditioned self-awareness? How are you forming the formless self-awareness? As what? From deep within man, the voice of God calls and says, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, this brings into play again what I told you about the Bible. The Bible is never intended to be geography or history as such. Frankly, history and geography and other material sciences in the Bible are purely coincidental. The Bible is a book of consciousness. All of the persons, places, events, and things in the Bible are dramatizations of the consciousness of God in man and as man. Egypt, bondage to the senses, slavery to materiality, limitation. In the Bible, the children of Israel were in bondage where? In Egypt. I'm sure that that's a historical fact. I'm not trying to deny that as a historical fact. But that is more than just a historical fact. Every person who is in bondage to the senses, to materiality, everyone who is in any kind of binding limitation is in Egypt. Egypt is a limitation state of consciousness. Egypt is a state of consciousness where one believes that people and things have power over him rather than I am. As long as you believe that any person or anything has power over you, you are in Egypt and you are not worshiping I am. And as long as you believe that any person or anything has power over you, you will remain in bondage. Not because those persons or things actually have power over you, but because you believe that. you have conditioned I am to that. There is no other cause. Now, we're using the terms awareness, consciousness, belief. These are all synonymous. Let's list these synonymous terms. Consciousness, awareness, belief, thought, mind. These are all synonymous for our use in this series. Even in the thing that seems to bind you, the only power that it has is your belief, your thought, your awareness. Also, the children of Israel. Israel means those who know the law. Make a note of that. You see, you're going to learn the Bible as you have never learned it. Who is Israel? Those who know the law. The law of self-awareness. The law of I am. The law of consciousness. The law of thought. The law of belief. The law of I am-ness. Who are Israel? Those who know the law. The law of mind. All of the foregoing are synonymous. These are Israel. These are God's chosen people. Not because they're better than anybody else as such, but they are Israel. They are chosen. Why? Because they know the law. The law of God. The law of good. I'm being purposely verbose. Write it down. I like to say these things in so many different ways, to give all of the shades of meaning. The Gentiles, on the other hand, are those who do not know the law of the Lord. Here again, the law and the Lord are really the same. The Lord, again, is the law of mind, the law of life, the law of thought, the law of consciousness, the law of self-awareness, the law of awareness of being. But you see, the Gentiles do not know the law of self-awareness. First of all, the law is given to who? To Israel, to God's people. And of course, these are not really people at all, but represents a state of consciousness. You'll find that the Bible aren't really dealing with people, where everybody in the Bible represents a state of consciousness. Write that on paper as well as in your heart. And this is one of the keys to Bible interpretation. When I get through with you these 7 weeks, the Bible is going to open up to you. It's going to be different from the way it's ever been. It's going to make sense for a change. So everybody in the Bible represents what? A state of consciousness. Every place in the Bible represents a state of consciousness. A condition of awareness. The Gentiles do not know that thoughts are things. The Gentiles never connect their way of thinking with their conditions. The Gentiles believe other people are doing it to them. But Israel knows, as a man thinks, so is he. Israel knows that I am. Self-awareness is the Lord, or the law of life, the law of mind. Everyone who knows the law of consciousness is Israel. Write it that way. Those who do not know the law of consciousness are not spiritually and mentally Israel. I have called my son out of Egypt. God's people, God's son, God's offspring. The individualization of God is called out from the belief that materiality, a material phenomenon, is cause or is God. There's one thing that I want you to get out of these first three commandments. There is no cause in material phenomena. There is no cause in material phenomena. phenomena. There is no cause even in your condition. Even your physical body is not cause. There's no cause even in cancer. Cancer does not even cause itself. There is no cause in any condition. No cause, no